We are in the middle of a worship series titled Love Never Ends. And in the journey that we're taking, we're kind of talking about the ways that we experience and deepen love through different relationships that we have. And we've had the blessing of having many different voices speak to that, right? Because in our own experiences, we have different wisdom to share. We have had different ups and downs, trials and tribulations of what it means to become loving and to experience love, or sometimes not to experience love in our life. And today, as I kind of jump back into things, I've been thinking about love more broadly, and kind of our own search and hunger for love. And I often come back to a favorite book of mine besides the Bible. Obviously, the Bible is my favorite book, but there are some other favorite books I have too. And I have been known to read parts of this book with children, but I have also actually, I have read parts of this book even sometimes occasionally at weddings, even though it is written for children. And it is the book called The Velveteen Rabbit. Yeah, see, oh good, yes, yes. And I do not have a Velveteen Rabbit. I do not have a skin horse. Those are the two main toys in the book, but I do have my Mr. Bear. And Mr. Bear was, I have lots of very sweet photos of me being a toddler feeding Mr. Bear. And just like the skin horse and the Velveteen Rabbit, which was a toy loved by an adult and given to the boy in the story, I have given Mr. Bear to my son so he could continue to be loved and played with. And my son graciously let me take Mr. Bear to worship today so that he could preach with me. He's gonna just sit there quietly and preach, and he is very grateful for the floral arrangement because Mr. Bear doesn't sit up very well anymore. If you are not familiar with the book, The Velveteen Rabbit, the premise of the story is that there is this toy, the Velveteen Rabbit, who lives in a child's nursery. And he lives with all of the other toys, waiting for a day when the boy will choose him as a playmate. And over time, while he lives in the nursery, he befriends a rather older toy called the skin horse. And the skin horse, of course, is the wisest of all of the toys. And he reveals to the Velveteen Rabbit that the real search, which is to be made real through the love of the child. So I want to read this little portion as a starting point for our reflection and thoughts about what it means to become real through love. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came in to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you're made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, your eyes drop out, and you get loose in your joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you are real," said the rabbit, and then he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. The boy's uncle made me real. He said, "That was a great many years ago. But once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always." The rabbit sighed. He thought it would be a long time before this magic called real happened to him. And he longed to become real, to know what it felt like. And yet, the idea of growing shabby and losing his eyes and whiskers was rather sad. He wished he could become it without these uncomfortable things happening to him. And now I'm going to go sit down. Right? Because that is it at the heart of it, isn't it? We have this deep desire to become real, and it doesn't happen all at once, does it? It happens over time, and it is uncomfortable, and things get loose, and hair gets lost, and we don't see as well, and it becomes this process of becoming, becoming, becoming. And there are so many ways in our lives that we have that opportunity to become real. So many different relationships that can allow us to practice and to be smoothed over. You know, the list is really endless. One of those relationships in particular, where we have the chance to experience that, is sometimes in the gift of marriage. It is only one of many relationships that it is possible. And it is not always a sanctifying thing. But I wanted to share this morning my own personal experiences, just a couple of them, of the ways that my marriage has been that kind of gift of becoming real. And I think one of the reasons that marriage has that potential for us is because, like the skin horse says, it happens over time, right? It's one of those relationships where if God willing, it's able to last a long time, it gives us that time after time of slowly becoming real and working on it together, of being what Wesley would say, the opportunity to be perfected in love. And so, what I want to do, if you're the kind of person who's looking for the 10 tips to having a great marriage, this is not going to be that sermon, so I apologize. And I encourage you, if you want that kind of nuts and bolts sermon, go to Church of the Resurrection. Adam Hamilton has dozens of amazing sermons that will fit that bill. What I want to share with you are a couple of stories about the practice of becoming real. And in some of those cases, I'm not going to even explain them. I'm just going to, kind of like how Jesus would tell stories and they'd be like, what did he mean? I'm going to tell a couple of these stories about my husband, Chad, and I and our journey. And I'm going to purposely not unpack it all the way. So that way you can have a little bit of time to reflect and to wonder. And if you want to talk about it some more, you can come talk to me and say, well, what did you learn, or where did that go for you? And while I read the stories, I'm going to use as a touch point a key part of our scripture reading today, because of course our journey of becoming real is about that kind of sanctification and love and practicing love. So I'm going to read part of 1 Corinthians, tell a story, go back to the scripture to remind us what we're aiming for, and tell another story. Paul reminds us about this when it comes to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. All right, so the first story I want to tell you is a story about a time when Chad and I were dating. We met in seminary as grad students. We were babies, yes. Chad is just a few years older than I am, but I think we were still in our 20s at this point in our life, and we were both very eager. We were both working on our Masters of Divinity. I was doing it because I was interested in being a pastor. He was doing it because he was interested in being a scholar. And we started dating pretty early on. We started seminary at the same time and started dating, and you know, as what happens with many students, there are times when one's family drops by to see how you're doing and visit. And I happen to have an aunt and uncle drop by. They were just traveling through. And so I had casually mentioned to Chad, we had only been dating a couple months or so at this point. And I said, well, I've got some family stopping through. And if you have time, if you don't mind, you know, I didn't say if you don't mind. I said, if you have time, why don't you stop by? He didn't stop by. He did not stop by. And I was crushed. I was so upset. I was like, he does not care about me at all. And so he didn't meet them. And I was talking with him, and I said, I really, really wanted you to come and meet my aunt and uncle. And he looked me square in the eyes, and he said, Stina, I don't get hints. If you need me to be somewhere, I need you to tell me that you want me to come. And I sat there for a while, and I said, this is going to be very difficult for me. I have only learned how to communicate in hints. This is the way of my people. And I will need to really work on this with you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Well, we did wind up getting married. And my particular seminary training took one more year than my husband. So in our first year of marriage, he had finished his studies, and I was still finishing up my coursework. And so he had all kinds of odds and ends jobs, and we were living in married student housing and enjoying, you know, that phase of our life. And like many newlyweds who have no money and they're crammed in one teeny little apartment and trying to figure out, you know, where life is going, just the stress of that phase of life, it's very intense, isn't it? And there was a point pretty early on in living in this little apartment where I was just so irritated by something Chad was doing. I do not even remember what this was. It just made me so mad. I was so angry at what he was doing. And so I wanted to talk to him about it. And as I mentioned, we both had the same seminary training. And when you go to seminary for a Master's of Divinity, you take pastoral care classes, even if you don't think you're going to be a pastor. So we sit down and we have our conversation, and I am just so angry. And Chad looks at me he's very calm and collected, and he says, I hear you're saying, and this is, you know, and he is being so patient and kind. He's doing all the active listening stuff that he should do. And I look right back at him and I said, don't you use those active listening skills with me. I'm angry and I wanna yell. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. While we didn't live in that little student apartment for long, a year after being married, I was given my first appointment, and we moved from New Jersey to Minnesota, which is where my husband is from, Minnesota. And my first appointment, comically enough, was actually in the same town where my husband graduated from high school. Yes, that did really happen. So, we move into the parsonage, and I am an associate pastor getting started. And as many of you can imagine, your first year in a new job is stressful, right? And there is so much that you're trying to take in and figure out. And, you know, we had been married a year, together for four, figuring out this stuff together. And when we first started, my husband, as I mentioned, he was doing some academic work. So he would often be either studying from home if he was in town or whatnot. And so when he was around, I could have lunch conversations with him or dinner conversations. And as I mentioned in a previous story, he's a good listener. And so sometimes I would kind of talk just like you would with your spouse about how'd your day go? You know, how's life going? And I would share things, and then because we both had the same kind of training in seminary, my husband started giving me advice. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't, you know, and I would start getting exasperated because I just wanted to talk to him about my day, and he would then be problem solving for me all the time. Have you ever thought about maybe trying this? Remember when we learned about that? And finally, I looked him square in the eyes and I said, look, buddy, I am not looking for you to fix this. I just need someone to talk to. And he said, oh. And so then in our next conversation, when I sat down and he said, how did your day go? He followed up with the question, are you looking for me to listen or do you need my help? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Well, fast forward a few years, and about 10 years into our relationship, we had our child. And once he started toddling around, that is really actually where some of the more challenging discussions about parenting started emerging. You know, like when they're babies, you're just like, we just gotta live, right? You know, like we just gotta physically survive, all of us. We'll just get through that. And then once they start, you know, toddling around, you realize, oh boy, this one can talk back to me, you know, and we have some mom and dad things that we got to make sure we're on the same page on. And there came a moment where there was something happening with how we wanted to raise our child, where we had very different opinions about what we thought needed to happen. And we were talking very honestly about them. But my husband, like, we were not on the same page. We had very different philosophies about a specific thing, but, you know, just like a course of action. And a course of action needed to be taken because there was a two-year-old running around, you know? And so at one point in our discussion, my husband said to me, it's okay, we can just do it your way. And you would think that would have been the end of our discussion. But when I took it, I thought he had just given me the biggest yes, dear, of my entire life. And I was not pleased. because he needed to understand that I was right. And he needed to understand that my way was better and I needed to convert him to my way of being. No, to which he saw just how frustrated I was getting. And he said, you know, we are not always going to agree, and it is going to be okay. Honestly, he said, I respect what you think needs to be done, and I am comfortable doing that. It would not have been my choice, but one of us has to make a choice, and it is okay. Like, that is okay. And you have to be okay with, if I was the one to make the choice, it would be different. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, there are countless other stories that I could go on and share, but I think you get the gist. And as you maybe reflect and chuckle over your lunch tables about some of these stories, you get to begin to see just how slowly and gently and intentionally God can work in our relationships to help smooth out the edges and help us to become real. In many ways, in my relationship with Chad, I have had the most opportunities to practice me being the best and the worst me. And he has helped me over the course of our marriage so far to, I think, become what Paul was talking about when he said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. And when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. And in our relationship, he was really the one, you know, where he helped me to emotionally become someone new and someone way more awesome. And I get so excited. Sometimes when I tell you a couple of these stories, I think of how much hope I have for the opportunities to become more awesome as I continue to grow up because of just how much our relationship can do for one another. And as I kind of struggle and wonder, I also then remember these final words in 1 Corinthians. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Amen.